So I think maybe what I'll do is just maybe give everybody a chance to introduce themselves. So we'll maybe start with the gentleman who's standing up to my immediate left. Do you want to say something?
Hello, I'm Jamie Sparrow from Sioux Valley First Nation, Manitoba. That's all I want to say for now. Okay.
My name is James Kiyoki from Attawapiskat.
My name is Sammy Cassis from James Bay, Attawapiskat, Ontario.
I'm Baptiste Robinson from Cross Lake, Manitoba.
My name is Pat Etherington, Jr. I'm from Moose Factory, Ontario, James Bay.
My name is Edmund Jack from Grassy Narrows First Nations, Treaty 3.
My name is Edmund Etherington from Moose Factory, Ontario, Canada.
Okay. So so you're all coming from various different places, and I'm just wondering what brought you together and what is the purpose of this trip? Edmund, you'd like to?
Yeah, this is Edmund Etherington speaking here. The reason why I wanted to put this walk together is for treaty rights, and it's not just for the First Nations. That's what a lot of people think what's happening today in Canada with these bills that's affecting the land and the water has to do with Native issues, but it's not Native issues. It's treaties issues, and treaty was based on with the other people we signed treaties with all people of Canada. It's not just us, because we're not the ones going to be affected by it. Everybody's going to be affected by it, from the land and the water. So it's not, that's the first thing I want to get clear. It's not a Native issue. It's all people in Canada. Whoever's listening, you know, it concerns you too, with your education, with the health care, with the water being polluted, the land being polluted. You know, they talk about making jobs for the economy, but what about 10 years down the road when everything's built, then everybody's unemployed again? What else is going to be taken, you know? Now they're going after, they say, our land, but it's not our land. It's everybody's land. We share this land when we sign treaties. We still share this land today. You know, that's what the whole party with society today is. They have this mind, this state of mind to think it's our land, it's Native land. Well, from what I was taught by the elders, it's not our land. It's God Creator's land, and we're here to protect it. You know, protect that land and water. Like my brother would say, it's natural to do that. Protect your own land, water, just like you protect your own family, your own mother, your own father, you know? So many people are so caught up with idle no more. Well, I say this clearly, we're not idle no more. We support idle no more. We stand with idle no more. We're just people who want to create awareness for the young people, as you maybe... You can't see, but I'll speak with honesty. There's young people sitting on this table saying enough is enough, you know? And from what we've seen, what's happening today in Canada with the leadership, myself, my brother Patrick, Baptiste Robinson, we're down in Ottawa for the hunger strike with Teresa Spence. A lot of people said a lot of bad things about her, but those people saying bad things about her, could you do what she did? Could you do that? That's the question. Could you do that? Would you do that? Would you actually take that responsibility as a human being to say, okay, that's enough. Maybe I'll go try to do something. There's a difference between try and doing it. We're doing it. Not just to say we're better as First Nations. This walk's about being human beings today in Canada. It doesn't matter if it's First Nations. It would be honored if white brothers, our colored brothers, our Chinese brothers come walk with us. Then we can show unity. But it takes one, like I said. It takes one to start something. There's so many walks going on today. People walking to Ottawa, you know. I know what Ottawa is.
That's one point. Like, sorry to interrupt, but you're walking to the Rocky Mountains, whereas you hear about all the walks going to Ottawa.
Yeah.
So why did your walk seems different in that respect?
It is, you know. But the main thing is we're walking. That's the main focus. But why I choose not to walk to Ottawa, because like I said, me, Baptiste, Patrick, we've seen what Ottawa can do to people. We've seen the greed. We've seen how greedy people can be as human beings. You know, these leaders of these parties out there, the Liberals, the NDP, the Green Party, what else parties were there? Conservatives, but conservatives didn't really come down to Victoria Island to pay respect to a woman who put her life on her line. My friend here, Baptiste Robinson, his dad stood up and put his life on the line too, but I cannot speak from what Baptiste experienced, but I can speak from my experience, what I've seen with my own eyes, how greed, those leaders, the people's leaders, saying, I'm better than that person, vote for me. Vote for me because this person has something else to say. But the main thing is that they can't create their own way of thinking, of change. They believe in change too, but it's how they do it. They want to say, I'm better than that person. Look at that person. He's got gray hair. Don't vote for him. That's the way they do it. They play dirty games. Look at him. You know, he did something in the past where he said something bad. But why talk about the past and they want to talk about the change for the future? But they bring up the past to make that person look bad. So that's what we're showing us in Canada. We're walking together, side by side. And why we don't choose to walk to Ottawa? Because we know what Ottawa is all about. If it became a big thing, this walk, those politicians would be there to say I was there. But I asked those politicians before. I said, you guys are fathers, you guys are mothers. And I asked that to our chiefs, too. I asked them, you guys are leaders. For one day, don't be a leader. Be a father, be a mother, be a brother, be a sister. Come down and support us. But there's no leaders walking with us. My leaders are these guys walking beside me. Those are my leaders. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why I get up every morning and I do what I do. And that's why we always do it every day. And we'll keep doing it. And
Edmonton, could you maybe explain, you know, for people who don't understand the walk concept? Because I think you alluded to a lot of things with what you just said. You talked about the efforts to misrepresent people, whether it was Chief Spence or Raymond Robinson or you know, other people who are, you know, trying to protect the land. And if I'm understanding what you were just saying, that you know, it's not a question of the First Nations owning the land, but the land, but they have a special role to ensure that the land is protected for everyone. Correct?
Yeah, there's no difference. But like you're saying, there's that word again. You said trying. We're not trying. We're doing it.
Doing.
So understand that. Now back to the question. We are the protectors of this land, but we signed treaties back in the day with those other people to share with each other as we share today. When I walk out that door, I'm no different than you. You may have a different background, ethnic background than me, but I'm no different. I walk the same streets as you. That's your street, just like my street. That's your bus, just like my bus. That's your dollar. That's my dollar, too. You understand? What I'm trying to say is that it's all about sharing with each other, standing beside each other as human beings of this nation, Canada. But put that word away for one day, like I said, Canada, and look outside, those trees, the air, the sun, those birds. Think about that, you know? And that's what's so caught up today with these politicians. They want to compete with each other. They say they care for each other, but do they really care for the people? Well, I tell the politicians, you know, it's good what you say. Mm-hmm. You say you speak for the people, but you speak for yourself because you want to be better than that other person. So you can have that role to say, I'm a leader, I'm the prime minister. But your prime minister doesn't last that long. Mm-hmm. As a father, as a mother, lasts longer than that role as prime minister. That's where I'm speaking from.
So you're saying pretty much this: ignore the politicians there, because Ottawa does things to people, and it basically is a waste of time. So are your efforts geared toward reaching out to other people and building some sort of community?
It's not building. It's already there. It's reconnecting with unity. Unity as human beings for each other. And like I said, it's about treaties. They talk about the colored people. They talk about the Chinese people. They talk about white brothers and sisters. They talk about the native people. But it's just color. We all have the same heartbeat. We all walk the same road. I got four fingers, one thumb. Or two thumbs. Well, you get my point. But understand what I'm trying to say. He's a... It's not the matter what color it is. You're a human being, you know? As I said before, we're human beings that make mistakes, but we learn from our mistakes. It starts from today. It's up to you what you want, mm-hmm. You know? I can make you sit here and listen, but you're the one asking the questions. So ask me another question.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I could just ask a couple of the other people, like maybe Baptiste, because your father was involved in a hunger strike for almost as long as Teresa Spence. Do you maybe want to talk about your understanding of what he did, and does that inspire you to participate in this walk?
Well, if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't have met up with these two fine set of brothers here, and my other brothers here I just met up with. I feel really honored to meet all of them, and without my dad, what he did too, he was, 10 hours behind Teresa or something like that. Just want to be here to support my people too, and try and reconnect, because I am, like,
I don't know, I can't say it.
But yeah, Edmund practically said it all, and practically got the same thoughts. Mm-hmm. Pretty much says everything.
So who among you were actually at Victoria Island?
Well, there was Edmund and Pat were there first, mm-hmm. and then I got there. That was New Year's Eve. I got into Ottawa. I was watching the fireworks over in the sky.
Yeah. So when you reflect on that, and Patrick, maybe you can feel free to talk about what you saw yourself. I mean, what were your thoughts going in there? Nobody really knew what would happen.
To where? Victoria Island?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's funny, when we first went to Victoria Island, we were just going for, to show our support and visit. Like, I only had a backpack with me, and I had cheap little sneakers, and it was in the middle of winter. So we weren't exactly expecting to go there and stay. But we went there, and we went and visited Teresa, and we know Teresa before this, too. Well, I knew her anyway. And so we went there and we realized that us being helpers, well, we are helpers. We grew up that way, me and my brother. And she needed help. So we both decided to stay, just like that. That was our story on going to Victoria Island. Because all I had was a little backpack with like two pairs of clothes, you know. And never mind, I was going to say something else, but I don't think I'm going to say that. But yeah, on Victoria Island, like, we went through, I can probably safely say for all of us here that were there, we went through a wide range of emotions. Sometimes we had very good days, other times we had very bad days.
What were the bad days like?
The media.
Media, yeah. The media, like, we would say something to the cameras and they would just take bits and pieces of it and they would make it their own message. Even though we were trying to say something else, they would take it and they would just friggin' twist our words around. So after that, we just stopped talking to the media, and that's when it started getting pretty bad, like, media-wise.
Helpers, goons, and thugs.
Yeah.
The Sun News was calling us helpers, goons, and thugs, eh?
Yeah.
And we were just helping, trying to protect the media from overcrowding Chief Spence and my dad and Gene Sock.
I'm trying to think of, there's those sorts of attack, personality assassination things, but I'm also reflecting on the idea that the nature of the fast itself wasn't very well explained by media, because it was a sacred fast.
Yeah,
it wasn't
just a
political statement, right?
A spiritual something like that, there should be no cameras around, and you shouldn't be recording stuff like that. It's like a pipe. You don't put a pipe on a camera. You don't show that sacred stuff on cameras. It's not supposed to be that way. Because what our beliefs is, power gets taken from those, our pipes, and our spiritual fast, our everything we do, that's spiritual, sacred. We're not supposed to record it. And I think that's how our people, our native people, are losing its power, is by recording those stuff.
Well, as media, that's certainly important
for
us to know. Is there anything as media that maybe we need to be made aware of, especially when it comes to issues relating to treaties and indigenous peoples in this nation?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you believe in change?
Do I believe
in change?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to change this around. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
I'll be the reporter. Now, you hear what's going on today with the issues about Canada, about how us Native people are getting, First Nation people are getting ignored. Now, you, as a different background ethnic than us, what's your thoughts about what's happening with us today, with all these walks across Canada, people from 10 years old up to 72 years old walking across Canada? How you feel about it as a human being, not as a reporter, but as a human being? How you feel about that?
Well, as a human being, I have come to cultivate in myself a sense of fairness and justice. And through conversations with people like yourselves, I've come to understand a little bit better about the way a lot of, particularly First Nations, but also others in our society have really been dealt with in an unjust way. And having gotten, enlightened in that way, I'm in the process of trying to come to a better understanding, and so I don't want to be arrogant as to say that I completely get it, but I'm at least, I hope, being more open. And somebody, one of my native brothers sees, does something that I don't understand, I don't rise to judgment. I try to try to find out where they're coming from. Your people have said, walk a mile in my moccasins. Mm-hmm. So I see these sorts of walks, or Idle No More. I know you distance yourself from that, but I do see these different approaches as efforts to try to open up the understandings of people in the call the settler population as well as, you know, to bring some unity with others. And so I, so that's, you know, why I've, you know, reached out to yourselves as well as trying to, you know, reach out to other people in the community. You know? Are you still going to be the reporter? Or
yeah,
do I have to
see, see how easy that was to express what you understand from our point of view?
Mm-hmm.
When the media asks us questions about how people can, you know, change words, just how simple it is. Mm-hmm. The way you spoke, that you made change today, this minute, this hour, you made change, you know? Now, you're ready. So get your shoes and come and join us.
Of course. Well, that's so. Yeah, that's well. I'm glad you bring that up. So, you know, people are. I mean, it can be anybody and everyone to join the walk or encouraged to join.
Yeah.
And we're recording this interview just, you know, on the Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it broadcasts, you're going to be on your way out of the city.
Maybe you can just send us a copy of it to wherever.
Sure.
Email or.
Yeah. Do you? So you're the around 8 o'clock or so Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
You're going to be leaving Winnipeg, and you mentioned that you're going to do it in a way that's respectful of people in the territory.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we don't want to intrude in anybody's space, because I know there are people out there that discourage us. But the main thing is that discouragement, that hatred. We're doing something right, too, because that hatred is looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at the positive. They can say what they want to say, but the main thing is they're looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they wanted to ignore us, they would ignore us, but they say something. But that hatred, that feeling is that positive has more power than that hatred. That's why the hatred looks at that positive. So that's one thing you got to remember. Is that one person may disagree with me, but two other people agree with me.
Hmm.
And I never forget that. So, you know, just my eyes, but...
Sorry to cry.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
You know, I just want to say something about, this... You know, I was thinking about this last night when I was laying down there. I was just thinking about, like, how powerful this mainstream society is, you know? Like, it even has power over all of us here, because we all dress this way, you know? Like, we don't really wear our traditional attire anymore.
Like,
we're cross-dressers, yeah. That's something my dad would say. Like, we get stared at a lot because we wear feathers, and this is our traditional attire, right? Pretty much. Even by our own people, we get stared at. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but whatever, you know, we're going to wear it. So, that got me thinking last night when I was laying down there. I was thinking, like, when you grow up, like, with very strong, you grow up with that strength, just like mainstream Canada, when you grow up with that strength, you start to lose respect for that strength, and then you'll abuse it. You'll abuse that power. But if you grow up weak, I'm not saying that we're weak, but we are told that we are weak, Native people. If you grow up weak, and then you grow strong, you know the value of that strength. You know the value of it, and you'll use it. And that's called, compassion.
Humility.
Humility. You're humble.
Respect.
Respect, yeah.
Common sense.
Common sense, yeah. So
you're talking about, you know, being able to stand strong in who you are and what your family and that.
Yeah.
So in a society.
Yeah, in a society.
That will reject it.
Yeah, for sure. So you grow up, like, if you grow strong, even us as a people, if we grow stronger all together, we would probably have that humility, that strength, the compassion, you know, all of that, the kindness. We would still have that. So that's what I was thinking about last night, you know? It just came to me, like, when I was sitting there.
Yeah, and I guess that's an important aspect of being, like, because it's a group of you that are walking, and mm-hmm. and you all share that sense of being, you know, I guess, marginalized by this dominant society.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you feel that sense of unity? Is it just sort of multiply on itself as you walk and you grow and you're feeling just through that process coming closer to who you are as a people and finding that strength?
Mind you, we have our ups and downs all the time.
Oh, yeah. Getting on each other's nerves.
Oh, everything. It's just like any other day, except we're going through a lot when we're walking, eh? Like suffering and all that. So that's when we all start getting into our own heads, and we got to question ourselves every day why we're doing this. Well, for me, anyway. You know, you gotta have a good reason in order to suffer like this. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a good reason, personally.
Because if you're just doing it for yourself, then probably wouldn't make it as far.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, it'd be, I guess, a different exercise. Yeah. So, looking ahead, are you carrying anything sacred? Is there something that you're actually bringing to the headwaters, or is there a ceremony?
You know, like Baptiste said, what we carry is kept to ourselves.
Fair enough.
So what we're carrying is our backgrounds, where we come from, our family. The way my brother said, our own state of minds. Own home fire, as you call it. That's what we're carrying. Our family, our blood, our family blood. That's what we're carrying. Those old people that were here before are with us, as they call it in other society, angels or whatever. But we believe in that too. But we call them other things. But that's what we're carrying, is ourselves too. And we're carrying each other as a family. We come from different backgrounds, different parts of Canada, different homes. But the main thing is that we're carrying something, that one belief we have in change. So, you know, it just takes one to start something. It takes two to make it more beautiful. And so on and so on. So, you know, I embrace all those other walkers out there. Keep walking. You know, walk together, walk side by side, you know. So we're leaving at 8, so you have to get your shoes ready by 8.
Okay. No, everybody's welcome. Well, thanks. I want to thank you all for coming and talking about the walk and for the invitation as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, for what you're doing, because I believe it's inspired by a place of... spirit.
Yeah.
Well, you do have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Oskapowes. That's the way it's spelled. Yeah.
Oskapowes. Oskapewis. Helpers. So check it out. And coming to a theater, coming to a city near you.
He's about to say theater.
Okay. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
And all
thanks
the best in the world.
Miigwech.
Miigwech.